Al-Bayan Radio presents the following lesson from Masjid Al-Azhar, Bilmo.
My dearly respected brothers and sisters, tonight, by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal, we continue with the sharh, the explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed, the chapter of Tawheed from Sahih al-Bukhari. And we are currently in the chapter discussing the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks whatever He chooses to whomever He chooses. And we have mentioned previously that the word of Allah Azza wa Jal and the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not restricted to the Qur'an. The Qur'an is part of Allah's word without a doubt, but it is not the only word of Allah. Everything that Allah Azza wa Jal speaks and says is from His word subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah has intended with this chapter here, to teach us that there are many things that Allah Azza wa Jal says and speaks and mentions. So today we have the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who's narrated and said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, once while Ayyub alayhi salam was taking a bath in a naked state. Once when Ayyub alayhi salam was taking a bath in a naked state, suddenly a great number of gold locusts. Are you familiar with the locust? The jarad. The locust is like the sakara, the grasshopper. And it's something that the Prophet ﷺ permitted to eat, even if you find it dead. He said a great number of gold locusts made from gold, started falling upon Ayyub alayhi salam while he was taking a bath. And then Ayyub alayhi salam began to collect them in his clothes. Ayyub alayhi salam began to collect them in his clothes. Then his Lord called him. Allah Azza wa Jal then called Ayyub. And he said, O Ayyub, didn't I make you rich enough to dispense with what you see now? Allah asked Ayyub, haven't I already made you rich enough? So then Ayyub alayhi salam replied and he said, yes, O Allah, but I cannot dispense with your blessings. Meaning, if your blessing is coming to me, I'm going to take it. This is what the conversation between Allah Azza wa Jal and Ayyub alayhi salam. So the hadith states that Ayyub alayhi salam was taking a bath in a naked state. Obviously, he was alone away from the people. And Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah has also used this hadith as a proof that it is permissible for a person to bathe in the nude outdoors if he is away from the people. There is no harm, as this was what occurred with the Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam. And Allah Azza wa Jal sent down the locusts upon him that were made from gold. And this was a reward from Allah to Ayyub alayhi salam for his patience and his pleasure in the qadr of Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah sending him locusts made from gold was a reward for him. The Prophet ﷺ said he started to collect them in his clothes, and then his Lord called him, O Ayyub, have I not made you rich enough to dispense with what you see now? So Allah Azza wa Jal called Ayyub, and that is the proof that Imam al-Bukhari used here. And this is also proof that Allah had given Ayyub from the wealth what had already sufficed him. Before these gold locusts came down, Allah had already given Ayyub from the wealth. And that's why Allah asked him, haven't I already made you rich? And then Ayyub alayhi salam said, yes, my Lord, but I cannot dispense with your blessings. And he called it a barakah, because it is from Allah, with no help or no work. Why did Ayyub refer to the locusts as barakah from Allah? Two reasons. They didn't come from man, And he didn't need to work for him. So he considered it without a doubt a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal. And this hadith, it proves what? The nature of man, his love for wealth. The nature of man and his love for wealth. And as we can see, Imam al-Bukhari put this hadith here because it says his Lord called him. So this is proof that Allah speaks with a voice that is heard. And Ayyub alayhi salam had this conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next hadith is the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu again, where he said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every night when it is the last third of the night, our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the nearest heaven. Every night at the final third of the night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the lowest heaven. And he says, is there anyone supplicating me so that I may respond to his dua? Is there anyone to ask me so that I may grant him his request? Is there anyone asking my forgiveness so that I may forgive him? This, subhanallah, the hadith in Bukhari and others, is an amazing hadith, my dear brothers. And it is amazing for a number of reasons. As it states, Allah Azza wa Jal, at the final third of every night, he descends to the lowest heaven. And then he asks, he calls, who is making dua so that I can give him? Who is seeking my forgiveness so that I may forgive him? And this is proof to show the virtue of this time. The final third of every night is a time where the believer who is in need of something, who is in need of forgiveness, or to ask Allah Azza wa Jal for something that he wants, it is without a doubt the best of times to ask. The final third of every night. And asking in the salah at that time is even better. Praying the night prayer at that time and asking Allah in your salah, in your sujood, is best. But even if a person did not pray, if they made dua to Allah in the final third of the night, it also applies. Because of this great virtue where Allah Azza wa Jal says that he descends. How do we determine the last third of the night? Very simple. You look at the adhan of Maghrib and the adhan of Fajr. That's considered the night. The night starts at Maghrib, it ends at Fajr. That time from Maghrib to Fajr, split it in three equals. Three. The last third is the final third. That's how you determine the last third of every night. This hadith, my dear brothers, we have iman in it. And we take it literally as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. And we are going to see how the people of innovation, from those who are misguided, have misinterpreted this hadith because of their corrupted understanding and belief of the religion. Ibn Abdul Barr rahimahullah, from the A'imma, he said, this hadith has been transmitted from a mutawatir number of chains and narrations from trustworthy narrators taken from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is the first point that we touch upon, that this hadith is mutawatir. What does mutawatir mean? If I ask the shabab, what does a hadith mutawatir mean? Excellent. Means a hadith that's been narrated by so many narrators and it's impossible for them to agree on a lie. Why is this important for us to know? That this hadith in particular is mutawatir. Because the people of innovation have set a principle for themselves, not for us, for themselves, that if a hadith is not mutawatir, Meaning if it doesn't have many chains, even if it's sahih, if it is not mutawatir, we cannot accept it in aqidah. This is the principle that they have set. And no doubt that this is falsehood and corruption. Because Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, as the A'imma have stated, if the hadith is sahih, it is dalil and it is taken. Not if the hadith is mutawatir. So regardless if a hadith has one chain or 100 chains, if it is sahih, we accept it as our deen in aqidah, fiqh, sirah, whatever it may be. The people of innovation say no. Hadith ahad, meaning not the level of mutawatir, we accept in everything except aqidah. So they've created a false condition that in order to accept a hadith in aqidah, it must be mutawatir on a number of chains. Ibn Abdul Barr here is taking a blow at them by saying this hadith is mutawatir. So warrant is taken. But they don't. Even the principles they set, they will flee from it. There's many ahadith in aqidah that are mutawatir that they will still reject. The salaf of the ummah, the pious predecessors, have all agreed that it is obligatory to have iman in this hadith and to accept it as the Prophet ﷺ intended it, as he said it openly. This hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he said it openly amongst his companions. And the companions took it from the Prophet ﷺ and they openly taught it to their students from the tabi'een and so forth. So whoever claims that this hadith in particular should not be taught or mentioned to the general Muslims is a person of misguidance. Why should we be shy to teach what Rasulullah ﷺ taught openly? You will find the people of innovation say this hadith and a hadith like this that speak about Allah descending, we should not teach it to the layman. We should not preach it to the people. Subhanallah. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam openly taught it. And the Sahaba openly taught it. Why should we hide anything from our deen that has been authentically narrated from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? And whoever claims that such a hadith like this mentions what Allah Azza wa Jal must be free from, or that it has imperfections for Allah, because that's what they say. You can't accept this hadith because it implies an imperfection for Allah, which is descending. Whoever has this corrupted understanding is because of his lack of insight and knowledge of the truth and his bad thoughts about Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is from his attribute al-nuzul, to descend. Just like all of his attributes, such as his highness and ascension, it is obligatory to believe in them all, without tahrif, without distorting, without misinterpreting, without denying, without likening or comparing Allah to the creation. Whatever Allah affirms for himself, we must affirm. This hadith, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has affirmed that Allah Azza wa Jal descends to the lowest heaven every night, we have iman in this and we cannot deny it. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they took the hadith as it is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left the hadith as it is. He did not give a false interpretation or a false meaning as the people of innovation have done. And if they were to change its meaning, that would have been narrated and mentioned about them. If Allah Azza wa Jal did not literally descend as the hadith states, then the Sahaba would have narrated that it's not literal. And the Prophet ﷺ would have told them it's not literal. Find one hadith, one narration, one athar from any companion, anyone from the A'imma, from the Salaf, that did not take this as it is, you will not find. This corrupted understanding came after the Salaf, after the pious predecessors. And the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said in this hadith, our Lord descends. When he said this to the companions, it is just like the verse where Allah azza wa jal says, and your Lord comes with the angels row upon row. وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا. So Allah azza wa jal descending to the lowest heaven is just like when he says on the Day of Judgment, he will come row upon row with the angels. So they all say that he descends and he comes however he pleases without describing how. This is the important point. How Allah descends, we do not know. We have not seen it. He has not explained it to us. But our duty is to believe in it because he said it about himself. We affirm for Allah what Allah Azza wa Jal affirms for himself. So when you look into the lives of the Sahaba who took this hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will never find them asking foolish questions like the people of innovation have asked in order to create doubt. They never asked, how does he descend? Or how does he come? Or where does he descend from? And is he still above the throne when he descends? And if he descends at the final third in Australia, what about the final third overseas? This is all rubbish and garbage. People that ask these questions, these types of questions, have limited Allah's power. Is Allah Azza wa Jal able to descend whenever He wants, however He wants? Of course He is. Is Allah able to descend the final third of the heaven and let that apply to everyone from the creation? Of course He is. Allah's power is not limited. Allah is capable of that and much greater than that. Our duty is to affirm what Allah affirmed for Himself and to have iman in it. How He does it, we do not know. But we affirm what Allah affirmed for Himself. And whoever says that taking this hadith on its apparent is tashbih, because this is what they say, if you take this hadith literally, you're comparing Allah to the creation. It is said to them that the one who took it on its apparent was the Sahaba. So you have accused the Sahaba and Rasulullah ﷺ of doing tashbih. Because they did not misinterpret it the way you misinterpreted it. They mentioned it and they took it literally and they left it. And you cannot bring a single word from Rasulullah ﷺ or the Sahaba which supports the words of the people of Tahrif, who claim to call themselves Ahl Sunnah, when in reality they are far from Ahl Sunnah. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, the correct opinion is that all of these false ta'wilat that the innovators have done regarding this hadith are innovation. All of these false misinterpretations that they have done are innovation, which none from the Sahaba mentioned, nor anyone from the Tabi'een. And these ta'wilat, these misinterpretations, oppose the known mutawatir narrations from the Imams of the Sunnah and Hadith, such as Imam Ahmad and others. They all took it literally. They all took this hadith and all the ahadith that speak about Allah's asma wa sifat literally. Abu Sa'id al-Darmi rahimahullah said, from the things taken into account regarding the descending of Allah and that is used as proof against those who deny it is the verse of Allah Azza wa Jal where He says, do they wait but that Allah should come to them in the covers of clouds and the angels as well, and the matter is then decided and to Allah all matters are returned. Imam al-Darmi rahimahullah said, this is on the day of resurrection. The one who is capable to descend from all the heavens on the day of resurrection to judge his servants is capable of descending every night, as he states. Because the verses are clear that Allah will come on the day of judgment to judge his servants. So this is a form of him descending also. So Imam al-Darmi rahimahullah, one of the great imams from the Salaf, he said the one who descends on Yawm al-Qiyamah to judge his creation is capable of descending the final third of every night. What's the difference? One of the Asha'ira scholars by the name of Al-Baydawi, he said, since Allah is free from a body, from jismiyyah, descending with the meaning of going from one place to another is prevented from him. This is what the Asha'ira say. Since Allah is free from a jism, a body according to them, then an-nuzul, descending from one place to another, is not possible for Allah. This is how they deny the nuzul of Allah Azza wa Jal. And they say, and then he continued to say, and that is why the meaning of this hadith is that his mercy descends. Pay attention. So now what have they done? That will false interpretation. The hadith says Allah descends. They came and said no. It's not possible that Allah will descend. Rather, it's his mercy. Some of them said his command that descends. Our imams have refuted them with simple refutations. The first one is that Ahlus Sunnah replied to them and said, if you claim that it's Allah's mercy that descends rather than Allah that descends, then our response to you is that Allah's mercy is always descending. It's not restricted to the final third of the night. This is the first argument. The second argument that Ahlus Sunnah have said is, if it's Allah's mercy that comes down, the hadith says, Allah Azza wa Jal descends to the lowest heaven, the final third of every night. So according to your false interpretation, Allah's mercy descends to the lowest heaven. What are me and you as a creation on earth going to benefit from Allah's mercy being on the lowest heaven if it's not going to descend down to us? Second refutation, that it cannot mean mercy. The third refutation, if what you're saying is the case, the command. If what you're saying, that it is the command or the mercy that comes down, the hadith says, Allah descends, and then he says, who is asking me so I can give him? So who is saying those words? Is it the mercy or the command of Allah? How can the mercy of Allah say, who is asking me so I can give him? Or how can the command of Allah say, who is asking me so I can give him? Who is seeking my forgiveness so I can give him? So who's the speaker? Subhanallah. So clear that they are upon misguidance. But as Allah says, it is not the eyes that are blind, Shabab. It's the hearts. Once the heart is blind, that's it. Unless Allah chooses to remove the veil off the heart. And that's why, my dear brothers and sisters, it is very important when it comes to the aqidah and to the affirming of Allah's names and attributes, we show the greatest adab with Allah. And the greatest adab with Allah is not to transgress the limits, to say only what Allah has said about himself. But subhanallah, the Prophet ﷺ says Allah descends, then they will come and say, no, it doesn't mean that, it means this. How much of a disrespect is that to Allah and His Messenger? That you had to go and elaborate that you're better in speech than them. Subhanallah. And another refutation that A'imma used is, even if we agreed with them that it is the mercy and the command that comes down from Allah, That interpretation in itself refutes them themselves. Because where does the mercy and command come from? From Allah. And they've denied that Allah is above. Okay, so where is the mercy and command coming down from? If you deny Allah is above. And they have no escape. And this shows you the falsehood that these people are on. And if there is an advice that I can give to any of our brothers or sisters who have these misconceptions, is not to take from myself and not to even take from anyone who's alive today. Go back to the early Muslims, the Salaf of this Ummah. The ones that the Prophet ﷺ said, they are the best of generations. His generation, the Tabi'een and Atba'u Tabi'een. Take your religion from them. If you find within them, those three generations, from the Imams, anyone that agreed with your false interpretation, then you have every right to be upon it. But you will not find anyone from the Imams of the Salaf who said what you say. But we advise our brothers and sisters to fear Allah and not speak about Allah except what Allah Azza wa Jal has spoken about Himself. And Imam al-Bukhari has used this hadith here to show that Allah speaks again with words, because He says, who is asking me so I may give him, and who is seeking my forgiveness so that I may forgive him. Inshallah, not next week. This was the last lesson because of Ramadan, due to the possibility of Ramadan being next Tuesday. So inshallah, we will resume with Kitab al-Tawheed after Ramadan, if Allah Azza wa Jal keeps us alive. Wallahu a'lam, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.
This program was presented by Al-Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.